Welcome, Capital Raisers. It's episode 300. You got to be kidding me. What a milestone. Thanks for tuning in and supporting the show. Today, we have Ben Reinberg to talk shop on syndicating multiple asset classes, market domination, internal scaling, and lucrative funds. Are you ready to raise? Shout out to InvestNext, our portal of choice, and the Family Office Club, which is the largest association in the capital raising industry with over 4,000 ultra-wealthy investors globally. With that, it's Capital Raisers Show, episode 300, and it starts now. Rock and roll, I got Ben Reinberg on the Capital Raisers Show. Welcome, my friend. How the heck are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me, Ruben. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, it's going to be fun. You're into office, industrial, medical, founder and CEO of your company, Alliance. So can't wait to dive in. The Capital Raisers Show Season 4, powered by the Family Office Club and our friends at InvestNext. So really excited to dive in. For the audience that doesn't know you, Ben, can you tell us a little bit about your background, how you got into syndication and these different asset classes that you're involved with?
I started when I was in my early 20s. I'm 53 years old. I've been doing this for about 30 years. Long story short, I syndicated my first industrial building. We are office, industrial, and retail experts. My company, Alliance Consolidated Group of Companies. Our website's alliancecgc.com if you want to look us up. And for years, we've been syndicating and doing funds. And my first deal was an industrial deal. It was a building in Chicago. We syndicated, raised a few million bucks, got some debt on the property, and sold it for about a little under a 3x multiple about 3 years later. And that's what launched me. And we built a tremendous amount of properties in our career. And literally about 19, 20 years ago, Ruben, we got into the medical office space. And 6 years ago, we got into the veterinarian office space. So we launched a fund, the Alliance Medical Property Fund, which is specifically focused on investing in medical properties. And we're raising equity currently for that fund. It's doing extremely well. It's one of the hottest funds on the market. Incredible leadership team we have at Alliance. And so at the end of the day, that's what we do. We own, operate, and manage office, industrial, and retail. And in this market for years, we've had a strong focus on medical office.
Have you by chance run into a guy that's doing industrial in Chicago by the name of Joel Friedland?
Yes, I know Joel very well. He's someone I heard he's been circling on the podcast ring. There's been rumblings that he wants to come on my show. So we'll see how that works.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that you had a show. What's the name of your show?
Show is Ben Reinberg. I own it. We have celebrities and high net worth individual investors that come on my show, and they're from success to significance. And we talk about commercial real estate. We talk about business, entrepreneurship, health, wealth, relationships, everything that touches success in business.
Awesome. Okay. So the business model for now, is it mostly on the medical side, or are you in all of those asset classes, office, industrial, and retail that you mentioned?
We're in all those in the asset classes. We're probably going to expand more asset classes as our company grows. We feel we can expand and do other asset classes. We've been inspired by what some of the other folks out there, the different asset classes. But generally speaking, Ruben, medical office, the next handful of years is going to be a significant focus of ours as well as other asset classes. But right now, this fund for medical office is really a focus of ours as we speak.
Okay, cool. Yeah, one of my good friends, Richard Wilson, is very bullish on medical office. Can you walk us through that business model? What do you like about it?
Well, Richard Wilson is a very smart guy because the human body is never going out of style, which I'm sure he realizes. And with that being said, the foundation of our business is pandemic and recession resilient type real estate, Ruben. What I love about it is our tenants invest significantly in the properties. We have annual rent growth in our income stream. We get a lot of values. And we have a high 80s percentile renewal rate in our leases with our tenants. And so at the end of the day, they make a great, stable, secure, and profitable investment. And that's why investors from around the globe are looking at our fund, because they're noticing, they're saying, well, wait a minute, in the chaos going on in the United States, where can I look to get a stable return, a stable yield on my money and get tax benefits? We'll look no further. Alliance Medical Property Fund is second to none.
How long have you been doing the funds? When was the first one?
this is actually our first medical fund, but we've done other funds. And for years, we did syndications. We would raise equity. Since the Capital Raiser show, we were raising equity anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 hours in our syndications. And so we had so much success in syndication, we decided, let's start doing some funds. And the four benefits of our fund is the cost of capital. We get cheaper capital with a fund. We have better economies of scalability. So if I sell a property within the fund, I could do a 1031 exchange and take one property, maybe buy three properties. So now I just expanded and scaled it. And guess what? More diversification. That's a perfect example. So to have, say, $1 million invested in the fund, if you're an investor, and so let's say there's 25 properties in the fund, well, now you're allocating $1 million over 25 properties instead of investing $1 million in one particular syndication. The risk threshold is different. So that's one of the benefits. And then also purchasing power. When we go out to the market, to the brokerage community and the sales community, we already have a great track record. But the community knows in our industry and commercial real estate that Alliance has money to spend and we can get repeat business. Well, guess what? If we provide certainty of closing, we get better pricing of deals on the market or off-market deals, because in a tough market, especially, certainty is key.
Yeah, I've had some friends come on the show and they talk about, I've asked them, why do a fund versus a syndication or one-off syndications? And a lot of the response has been, when you're doing one-off syndications, you can have a wild variety of investor return profiles. And maybe with the same operator, you might have somebody that gets a 40% return. And then with that same person on the next deal, they may only get 20%. So when you talk about diversification, it kind of like smooths out that roller coaster effect of having multiple different potential return structures or returns in general that you get back. So that's one of the things that I've heard. Now, you mentioned there's 25 potential deals, or there's been up to 25 deals in some of your funds. That sounds like a accounting nightmare. Do you use any particular softwares or accounting or platforms to manage how the investors get their K-1s and everything else? Or how do you handle that part of the business?
It's a great question. A fund, you get one K-1 as an investor. You're investing in the fund LLC. And then every property within the fund's in its own separate LLC that rolls up to the master LLC, which is the fund LLC. I am also a CPA, Ruben. So for us, we have our own internal fund administration accounting department that deals with all our investors' timing of when they deploy capital. It's a very intrinsic, complicated equation, but we have a great platform. We're set up to do so, but it's not for the faint of heart. It's a lot of accounting. It sure is.
And that's in-house administration?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, cool. All right. The reason that I asked about the fund and when you started the original fund or how far back is, we have a lot of people listening in that are considering launching their own fund. So I kind of wanted to ask you some questions about what that original process was like. I know that after the Jobs Act of 2012, some things changed. Did you do your first fund prior to that or after that?
We did after that, but you do a lot of preparation work for a fund. It's a lot of work up front. It's a huge capital investment between the time, the energy, the staff, the legal fees, the knowledge, the learning curve, consultants, you name it, preparing tax-wise. There's a lot of moving parts when you create a fund if you do it right. And what we learned is what you put into it will create a great product going out. So as we raise equity, we have a great product. It makes it a lot easier to raise equity when you have a great product. Well, what goes into that? Preparation. And it's like anything. It's like, well, if you're an NBA basketball player, how you prepare to play in the game, how you practice is kind of how you play. And there's no difference when you're creating a fund.
Okay. And then all of your funds are asset class specific. You're not doing any funds where you have like office, industrial, medical, and retail all in the same fund. They're all specific to one of the asset classes.
Yeah, it's specific to a niche. That's correct.
I love that. Okay, cool. All right. So can you tell us a little bit about your capital raising journey, what you've learned along the way, like your first few capital raises? What were you doing then that you've changed since then?
Well, the difference significantly was there wasn't technology like there is today. So we weren't publicly advertising for equity back in the day. It was all relationships and shoe leather and going out and meeting with investors and bringing them into your conference room in your office. It was just a much different experience. It was a longer game to raise equity. and do deals. And so it became more of a local or regional business, and your investors were local and regional. So being from Chicago, that's where our headquarters are. A majority of our investors when we started out were from the Chicago area, because that's how you raise capital. And I was blessed to be born and raised in a large city in the United States to have that population density to go out and raise equity.
Okay, cool. What about on the marketing side? Do you guys participate in that now? Are you seeking investors from platforms or social media or marketing or email or anything like that? Or is it mostly all referral and word of mouth? And
we do all the above. Referrals, marketing, social media, ads. I have a blog that goes out to hundreds of thousands of people on a monthly basis. My podcast, we do webinars. We touch all aspects to get our name out there in front to be able to invest with us.
Okay, cool. So how are you approaching the current economic climate, and what do you see for the future for your business? You mentioned going into some new asset classes. I'm assuming you're going to stick with medical and possibly some of the other ones.
We're out there raising as much money as possible and keeping our powder dry, because we see next year there's going to be tremendous buying opportunities in the market, especially medical office and other types of asset classes. So for us, we are feverishly raising money and keeping our powder dry and looking, we feel, are going to be tremendous opportunities in the forthcoming year.
So I've definitely heard that about multifamily. Are you finding the same, that people either purchase with the wrong kind of lending products, or there's going to be a lot of rate changes, or people that used some kind of temporary or bridge debt or non-fixed rate kind of loan products? You see that in other asset classes besides multifamily, that they've also done that and are going to be basically a lot of blood in the waters over the next 18 to 30 months?
Well, we see there's $1.6 trillion, Ruben, of commercial real estate loans coming due, and people finance multifamily is struggling. The reason why is cap rates are so low on the acquisitions. We have a lot of peers that are struggling. That's why we have so many investors flocking to our Alliance Medical Property Fund, because they're worried about the sponsors. They're buying deals 3, 4, 5 caps. Rates have gone up. They have to refinance. How are they going to make their numbers work? So there's going to be some buying opportunities in multifamily. I feel there's going to be buying opportunities in every asset class. But at the end of the day, there's going to be some real challenges coming ahead, because with interest rates rising and loans coming due, they're not going to meet their debt service coverage or covenants in their loan documents.
Now, are you guys purchasing right now, or are you guys waiting? Because I've heard recently some people are saying, hey, don't invest right now. Wait until the opportunities present themselves. Have that money available for those opportunities when they come down the road.
It just depends. We're starting to see a little bit of a shakeout. We're starting to see some cap rates rise and some opportunities. So we look every week at hundreds of properties to buy, and we're being very patient. And we feel probably in the fourth quarter, we'll start buying again.
All right. Tell me about the scaling of your company, because I think a lot of, especially newer syndicators, they have the vision, like, I want to be the GP. I want to have the control. And then what they don't really kind of picture is that they're going to have to be managing people, hiring employees. What has been that experience for you in terms of growing? How many people do you have on your team right now?
Right now, we have about 8 leaders, and then we have employees under them around the country. We also have VAs, so we have dozens and dozens of employees that handle different functions within our business, whether it's property management to asset management, acquisitions, dispositions. You have anywhere from marketing and different sides of marketing that we do. We have administration, HR, office management as well. So very integrated with different fund accounting and administration as well. We have different departments and different folks that work in different capacities in all different areas of the country. But it's challenging in this market for scaling because, number one, inflation has created challenges for wages with a lot of staff and employees. Also, with the cost of gas and commuting to offices, if you have office staff. So we've seen a lot of growth in remote work and hybrid work, which has been a growing trend. So we've had to change the way we've done business because of everything, our Zoom calls, and we're getting on video calls on a frequent basis. And so I must get on at least 10 Zoom calls a day. So we have to work differently. And with that being said, scaling a business now is a lot different. Back in the day, Ruben, we were on the same office in Chicago. Now I sit in our West Coast office in Newport Beach, but then a day we've had to work differently, change the way we scale our business, change the way we engage with employees. And we've gotten into the human behavior to understand how personal and business life mold into each other. That way with people working remotely, they don't feel like they're in a silo. And so we were just having this discussion inside our office about what are the best practices to deal with people working remotely. And it's been challenging, but we've been able to really master it over time. So there's different ways to scale your business. If you're in a commercial real estate space, you need to delegate and leverage talent and bring in great talent. You got to invest in people. And that's how we've been able to scale.
What are some of the first hires that you would recommend for a scaling syndicator?
I would say one of the best things you could do is hire a great assistant for yourself that can handle day-to-day, take over your bookkeeping. I would say initially, maybe look at outsourcing your property management if you can't afford to hire property management inside. That was something we did when we were early. And then we create our own property management internally. So it just depends how much capital you have. But if you're light on capital, you want to outsource.
So what does the future hold for Alliance Capital and their group of companies?
Well, we're going to be probably a dominant player like we have now in the commercial real estate space. With billions of dollars of assets under management, we'll be the leaders in owning medical office throughout the country. I feel we'll get into multifamily. We'll become an icon in that space. We're going to look at exploring into hotels. We're going to get back into industrial and grow our portfolio in that realm and look at some of the opportunities in retail. So great opportunities if you're looking for a job to grow with Alliance. We have a great group of people, 200 plus years of leadership team experience, Ruben, in our company. And we do things a lot differently than most companies. So very proud of where we've come and where we're at. And looking forward to stepping out as the CEO and becoming the chairman and having someone in line who's going to replace me, see our continued growth. So a lot of great things for Alliance, my company, AllianceCGC.com in the future. I'm very excited about it.
I bet. It sounds like it's an amazing position, amazing company. Now, tell me, how big is enough? Like, how big do you want to grow it?
It's not about me. It's about helping people and creating a legacy. I want to not only create a legacy for my family, but also I want to create wealth for my employees and my leadership team. And we have a stat in our company, which I think is really important and a great stat to look at, is how many kids have we put through college through our employees over the years?
Nice.
And that shows what we're doing and providing value out in society as a company. So for me, it's more about giving back. It's more about growing my employee base. It's about giving them opportunities they never had and growth and using the skills that we've been able to acquire over the years and let them leverage into our platform to create wealth and success for themselves. So it's not that it's never enough. It's more about how many more people can we impact with our presence using commercial real estate.
That's a fantastic answer. Now, you mentioned the word legacy. I've heard this before because a lot of times there's people that create wealth, the second generation manages the wealth, and the third generation loses the wealth. So what are you doing to protect the third generation from losing the wealth? Or is that something that you have embedded into your own family, into the culture of your company, so that the people that you work with can also impart that wisdom onto their second and third generations?
I am a first generation. I am the guy. I'm grandpa, as they say. I created my own wealth. And so my kids, they're well taught. They're well disciplined. They understand what the almighty dollar really means on the world and how to budget. My oldest son is in the working world. He understands what the value of the dollar is to pay rent, pay his own credit card bill, car payments, you name it. That's how we teach our kids. So it's all about the values you instill in your next generation, say your children, which will carry through to future generations. And so I just lead by example. I let my actions speak for my words, and my employees see that as well. I don't have a big ego. I don't need to. I let my actions speak. My track record speaks for itself. It precedes my reputation. And so at the end of the day, that's just how I do it. Now, people have different ways to do it, but I'm financially astute. My kids are as well. We taught them well and just have great values, and they're grounded. And so that's how we do it. I'm not going to be alive when the third generation is spending money, But if I do what's underneath me and put my best foot forward, everything else will carry through.
Great answer, Ben. All right, cool, man. Let's dive into the lightning round. My first question to you is, what's the best vacation you've ever taken?
I had a really good vacation right before COVID hit in Thailand, which I really enjoyed. Actually going to Japan, by the time this comes out, you can bring me back on. I'll be coming right back from Japan. So I'm looking forward to that trip. I've never been to Japan, so excited about that. I've taken a lot of great trips. I would say the one that was really memorable for me recently was Thailand. I really enjoyed it.
Love it. I've heard that one quite a bit. Favorite book of any kind?
My good friend Oren Claff wrote a book called Pitch Anything, and I really adore him. He's a wonderful person and a friend, and I love reading that book. It teaches me a lot of great lessons that even when I'm out raising equity, it's just sometimes I'll go back and refer to that book, and it keeps me grounded. He's got great insight to raising equity, so very grateful.
How much of your success do you attribute to mindset?
Oh, I probably 99.9% mindset, because if you're in commercial real estate, especially everyone listening out there, I don't know your audience, but I'm assuming they're entrepreneurial and they like real estate. And if that's the case, mindset's everything. And you're going to hit times where you have troubles with lenders. You're going to have trouble with tenants, investors. People are beating on you all day. You got your family life. You got kids. It's not easy. And believe me, you're talking to a man who's lived it and continues to every single day. You have staff, employees, issues on your properties. This business, commercial real estate investing, is not for the faint of heart. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not. It's a grind. It's doing things differently. It's putting the extra mile in, focus. But having core values like our company, transparency and integrity, help carry that load to be able to get to this point. But mindset's everything. Mindset is, how am I going to show up every day? How am I going to discipline myself? Am I going to go to bed early? Am I going to have morning routine and work out and stay healthy? What am I going to do to benefit my employees, as well as my resources and the people around me that depend on me? So there are so many people that depend on Ben Reinberg every day. And I take that very seriously. And so part of that is working on myself and personal development. And that's part of the mindset equation that I've incorporated in my career. Mindset's everything. It's so important.
I appreciate the transparency and honesty on that, man, because it's so true. A lot of people sugarcoat it, definitely. How long do you want to live, Ben?
I'm doing a lot of biotechnical stuff. I want to live to about 150. So I'm 53. I figure I'm a little shy of 100 years left, and then I could leave this earth a better place. So for me, hopefully I have another century left in me to go.
I love that. Can you mention real quick, like, what are some of the biotech that you're studying?
I've done stem cells. I do some other things to keep myself healthy. And I exercise. I eat right. Not always, but generally speaking, I do. Just take care of myself. And one of the things I started doing recently is meditating. So I meditate twice. It was interesting. I got a good story for you. Young guy in acquisitions, worked at one of my competing companies. He said to me, he was struggling. He said, I'm having trouble sleeping at night, having trouble relieving stress, and it's really affecting me. I sat him down. I said, why don't you learn to meditate? He started meditating and it changed his whole life. And the reason why, all of a sudden he found more deals. He was able to see clarity and more aware of his surroundings. And it just changed his way to communicate with others. And so it really grew him financially. So he called me and he was in tears. We were doing a Zoom calling. And I said, what's going on? And he's like, I can't believe just some little tweak in my life that you showed me totally changed the way I'm conducting business, my personal life. Everything has changed for the better. So he thanked me. That's something I do. So it's one of my secrets. I meditate. I work on myself. I give myself space during the day to think. And at the day, it makes me a better person.
Yeah, the majority of people that I know that are having good success or great success are meditators for sure. So short answer on this question, best way to raise capital from your perspective?
I would say referrals. When you take care of someone, ask them who else they know that would benefit from your services. And to me, that's the best way. Your best investor comes from your existing investor that's happy.
Can you tell me about a moment that changed the trajectory of your life?
I think what changed the trajectory of my life was when I was a young man, I wasn't happy with my current accountants, and I was at my health club and I was getting changed, and I ran into my new accountant who's been with me for almost, I don't know, 28, 30 years of my career. and we became good friends. I just got off a video call with him. That's why he's on top of my head. He introduced me to investors. He introduced me to best practices to structure my business. He inspired me to be able to help grow and scale my business. And so that was just one of many people that have changed my trajectory in business. But that's the first one that comes to mind, that when I was really a young man, he was there. I could always lean on him for advice.
Excellent.
And I felt he was taking advantage of me.
All right, how about this one? Do your spiritual philosophies have anything to do with your success in business?
Yeah, I believe so, because I believe what it allows me to do is put my mind in a state of confidence and belief and know that I can do it and know that I will do it. And I understand what my capabilities are from being more aware, being more centered in what I do. So there's no question.
A couple more questions. Have you ever experienced a miracle or had a near-death experience?
I think my near-death experience was I was 6 years old, and we used to live across from a big park in the suburb of Chicago, and used to be able to park cars on both sides of the street. And I was a young man, I couldn't see, ran out in the street, got hit by a blue Oldsmobile back in 1976, was on the ground, and neighbor picked me up and drove me to the hospital with my mother, broke my leg from top down, and I could have got killed. Well, I was a young guy, I didn't realize at the time. That was probably my near-death experience. What was the second part of it?
Have you ever experienced a miracle?
I've met people in business that have opened doors for me and shed light on situations I had no idea how I was going to solve a challenge. And those to me are miracles. Those are blessings of people that show up in your life unexpectedly and solve challenges that you have no idea how you're going to solve them, and they open your eyes. And so, and a lot of mentors, I've had a lot of mentors that have provided me a lot of blessings in life, a lot of lessons. And so those are miracles to me.
Those are definitely
that I could definitely stack on and learn and share my experience with others. So
I love that. Okay, cool. Last question, brought to you by one of our great listeners, Shanna Amigo. She would like to know, what impact would you like to leave in the world?
I would say for me, I want to leave this place where I know I've created an impact in showing others how to produce wealth and build wealth. Also through my podcast, I want to leave an impact where maybe it's a nugget of knowledge that I gave or one of my guests gave that changed the life of our audience. That's why I encourage everyone to listen to our podcast, because there's always something that comes out of every episode where this aha moment. I go back selfishly and listen to my episodes. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what the guests have to say. And I learn from every one of our guests, Ruben. It's incredible. And so all these knowledge nuggets that come out of the show create such an impact in the world for people that get to listen. So I enjoy that and I love that. And to me, it's a great way for someone to shorten the learning curve and escalate their career, personal growth. And so we bring on anything from personal business on the show to have discussions. And there's so much knowledge that comes out of it. So again, you want to talk about mindset, and you want to talk about health and wealth and all these things we talk about. There's not one aspect we don't touch, because it's such a holistic approach.
I love that answer. You know, what's cool is anybody that runs a podcast knows how much work it is. And it's a great way to leave impact, even though, like you mentioned, selfishly, you can get a lot out of it too, but your audience can really get a lot. So it's a big deal.
You know what I love just real quick about it is, what's great about it is we started our first show in May 31st of 2022. And the emails I get from people or the phone calls I get about the guests and the lessons they've learned or the conversation or some of the things I've said, like just the compliments and what we've heard, that's what it's all about mm-hmm. to me. And that's what's so cool about podcasts.
Love it. Great answers on the lightning round. Shout out to the Capital Raiser Nation. Thanks for tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star written review. Shout out to our sponsors, the Family Office Club and Invest Next. Ben, how does the audience get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is go to benreinberg.com. You can follow me on social media platforms if you want to reach out to me personally. But if you are interested, let's say you're a passive investor, Ruben, and you want to build wealth for you and your family and create a legacy, they can go to alliancecgc.com, click invest with us on the button and fill out a form, and we'll reach out to you and we will show you how you can create by investing in one of our funds or our syndications, and show you how you could passively invest and not have to do the heavy lifting. We'll do everything for you from soup to nuts.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Any last words of wisdom, Ben, for the aspiring syndicator or capital raiser as they scale on their journey?
If you're out there and you want to get in the syndication business or just trying to get started, because we all work, just believe in yourself and work on yourself. Get into personal development, find a mentor, work on yourself, and really help with your mindset, because that's what a lot of it is, especially when you're younger, thinking, can I do this? How do I raise money? How do I get my first loan? And a lot of it is belief. And so believe in yourself.
Any good mindset programs or mentors that you recommend people, or even books that people check out?
I wouldn't recommend a specific person, but there's a lot of great mentors out there. If you look at Instagram and you could see, you could also go and read a lot of great books depending on the niche you want. You want to learn how to sell? There's great selling books, great mentors. Depends on your niche that you're looking for. So the nice thing in commercial real estate syndication is you have to become what I am, a seven tool player. You have to be able to understand financing, raising money, negotiating. There's so many different folks out there that could teach you different aspects. So pick something you want to learn, learn it, go on to the next skill set. Keep learning, never stop growing.
Love it, man. Well, this has been a real pleasure checking you out and getting to know you, Ben. Thanks for coming on the show. And I look forward to following your progress over the next many years.
Thank you for having me, Ruben. And for all those capital raisers out there listening, wish you all the best. And feel free to follow me. And I can assure you, we'll offer you some value on how to raise equity.
Rock and roll.
The Capital